Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well today. For this year in 2020, we have been studying through one of Jesus' most famous public addresses, the Sermon on the Mount. And I will have you know that these are the last 2 weeks that we will be studying this sermon. I know it feels like we've been doing this for a really long time, but next week will be the conclusion of our series in the Sermon on the Mount. So I hope that this study has been helpful for you in some way. I know that it has been for me. But this morning, as we continue along in this study, if you have a Bible with you, you can open up to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to be again today, Matthew chapter 7. And the part of Jesus' sermon that we're going to look at this morning is just one verse. But it's a famous verse. I'm sure that you've heard this verse in some form or fashion in some way. In fact, this verse is so famous that we've actually nicknamed it. We call this verse the Golden Rule. And it's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And it goes like this. Jesus says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Have you heard this verse before? In 1993, a group of leaders from around the world, making up all kinds of different religious faiths, they endorsed the Golden Rule as a part of the declaration toward a global ethic. At this meeting, one of the leaders was quoted as saying that the Golden Rule can be found in some form in almost every ethical tradition. Another leader was quoted as saying that the Golden Rule is a concept that essentially no religion misses entirely, but belief in God is not necessary to endorse it. So do you hear what these guys are saying here? They're saying that the Golden Rule is a great foundation for ethics and for morals and for how people should treat one another, but we can do all of that without God actually being involved in it. That's probably why the popular versions of the Golden Rule look more like this. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Do you see which parts are missing here? Do you see which parts are taken out? But what Jesus actually says when he introduces the Golden Rule is this. He says, "So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." When Jesus says the law and the prophets, he is referring to the entire Old Testament. He is referring to everything that God has been saying to his people for generation after generation after generation. And Jesus says that everything that God has been teaching can be summed up in this one principle. So to put it another way, everything that we know of the Golden Rule, God has already been saying it and doing it since the beginning of time. So when Jesus introduces the Golden Rule, Jesus does it in a way where God is the background for the entire thing. And if that's not clear enough, take a look at what Jesus says at the very beginning of the verse. It says, "So." Now, maybe your translation says the word "therefore." It's the same word in Greek. And what do we know every time we see the word "therefore" in the Bible? We ask, what is the "therefore" "therefore"? Because the word "therefore," the word "so," indicates that whatever comes after it is connected to what comes immediately before it. And in this case, Jesus introduces the Golden Rule. When he does, he connects it to what he had said right before it. And what is it that Jesus says right before the Golden Rule? Well, last week, Pastor Josh walked us through Jesus' words about how God is our good Father, and our good Father gives good things to his children whenever they ask of him. This is the way that Jesus puts it. He says this, "Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now, every time that I read this verse, I get stuck on the snake part of it. Because if your son asks you for a fish and you give him a snake, that is so messed up. Who in the world would do that to their son? I mean, if my dad did that to me, I think I would pass out because I hate snakes. But fortunately for me, my dad would pass out first. Just a couple of weeks ago, on Father's Day, I was with my family when this creature from the depths of hell showed up on the patio. And what do you do in the Adkins family when something like this happens? You let mom handle it. Notice in this picture, there is no father in the scene. There is no older son in the scene. There is no younger son in the scene. It's just mom. Why? Because we hate snakes. So we would never give a snake to somebody that we love, which is Jesus' point when he says that if we know how to give good things to each other and God is better than us, how much more does God know how to give good things to us? And then the very next thing that Jesus says is the golden rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So the backdrop for properly understanding the golden rule is first understanding how God treats us. And the example for knowing how to properly execute the golden rule is first understanding how God gives to us. So if you take God out of the golden rule, Jesus says that you've missed the whole point of it. Because without God in the golden rule, people like us, we tend to use it in selfish ways. It doesn't always start that way, but many times it will devolve into that. When we look at the golden rule, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. People like us, because we're selfish, we start to think, well, hey, I want that person to treat me like this, so maybe if I do it first, then they will return the favor. Like, hey, look what I did. I took that knife with the peanut butter on it that you left in the sink, and I cleaned it up, and I put it in the dishwasher. That right there, that isn't about what you did for them. That is about what you hope they do for you in the future, isn't it? I worked with a girl who announced to all of our coworkers that we should all chip in for a birthday fund. And we would buy a cake for everybody to have on whoever's birthday it was. Well, guess whose birthday was next on the calendar? Funny how that works. Sometimes we can understand the golden rule selfishly. I mean, it says, whatever you wish that others would do to you. And I don't know about you, but my list of wishes that I wish other people would do for me, it can get quite long. We want somebody to act a certain way. We want somebody to do something specific for us. So we decide, hey, I'll do it first. I'll set the example. I'll get the ball rolling with the hopes that someday they will return the favor. Do you see how doing unto others in that way is ultimately motivated by what we want them to do for us? So do you see how that's a kind of a manipulation? We're doing something for them, not because we want to, but because we actually want them to do something for us. And this is our way of coercing them into doing what we actually want. Do you see how some people can use the golden rule like that selfishly? Well, that's not all what Jesus is talking about here. And do you know how I know that that is not what Jesus is talking about when he says the golden rule? Because in the very same sermon, Jesus says this. He says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And instead of promising that when you treat others the way that you want to be treated, then they will return the favor, Jesus promises the exact opposite. Jesus says that you can treat somebody exactly the way that you want to be treated. Sometimes you can treat somebody exactly the way that Jesus would treat them. And rather than returning the favor, they will revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. So when Jesus introduces this principle about treating others the way that you want to be treated, the purpose of the principle is not so that we get treated the way that we want. Do you see how we often apply the golden rule like that? A way to get what we want by inciting other people to return the favor. Now, that's not the only way that people like us misuse the principle. The second way that people like us, when left to our own devices, might misuse the golden rule is that instead of manipulating people, we might use it to maintain social order. A lot of people, when they hear the golden rule, they immediately apply it in its negative form. It says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. And we think, well, if this is true, then this must also be true. Whatever you don't wish that others would do to you, don't also do to them. Isn't this what we do with the golden rule sometimes? Now, this is kind of how we instruct our kids with it, right? Like, hey, Dusty, would you like it if your brother punched you in the face? Then don't punch him in the face. And that's good advice. That is good, solid instruction. Those are words to live by. Which is exactly what that Council of World Religious Leaders in 1993 said about the Golden Rule. They said that the Golden Rule was a great global ethic. Meaning that the Golden Rule is a great example for how people should treat one another. If everybody in the world lived by the principle, hey, you don't want to get punched in the face, then don't punch anybody else in the face, then the world would fundamentally be a better place. Isn't that true? But that's not how Jesus introduced the principle. Jesus didn't introduce the golden rule to merely make the world a better place. Jesus introduced the golden rule to paint a picture of a better kingdom with the best king. And there's a difference between making the world a better place and entering into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, this entire sermon that we've been looking at is Jesus describing the kingdom of heaven and how it's different than the world that we live in. In the very first verse of this entire sermon, Jesus says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he continues for the next three chapters showing how things in the kingdom of heaven operate differently than they do here on earth. And you can even see it right here in this verse. In our world, those who are poor in spirit, we would not consider those people to be the ones who are blessed. But the kingdom of heaven is different than the way that our world works. And the same is true for the golden rule. Our world sees this and uses it differently than how Jesus describes it and uses it in his kingdom. Let me show you the difference. When we apply the golden rule in its negative form, often it appears like this, the way that we see it. This right here, it will make the world a better place. But making the world a better place is a far lesser target than what the golden rule was intended. For example, sometimes the negative application of the golden rule, it can be obeyed by simply doing nothing. If I don't want to be treated a certain way, then I won't treat others that way. I will do nothing instead. If I don't want to get punched, then I won't punch anybody. I will do nothing instead. If I don't want to be taken advantage of, then I won't take advantage of anybody else. I will do nothing instead. The negative application of the golden rule, sometimes what it looks like is, I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. Now, why don't we agree that we'll both just do nothing instead? Do you see how when we understand the golden rule like this, it can actually be obeyed by merely doing nothing? And honestly, many times in our world, if people did nothing instead of what they usually do, that would make things way better. Like that angry email that you usually send, the world would be better if you would just do nothing instead. Sometimes the reactions that we usually have, the habits that we usually form, the situations that we usually put ourselves in, if we would do nothing instead of those things, then our lives might be better. Think about some of your biggest regrets. Think about some of those moments that you wish that you could take back. If in that moment we would have just done nothing instead of what we actually did, then things might actually have turned out better. So you see, if the goal is to make the world a better place, then doing nothing might actually help that goal. And the golden rule, when understood like this, allows for people to obey it by simply doing nothing. But this is not how Jesus introduced it Instead, Jesus says it like this: "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Notice the word "do." If you are doing nothing, then you are not doing the golden rule, at least not the way in which Jesus commanded it. Because the way that Jesus says it, this is not a passive command. This is an incredibly active command. As one author puts it, this command requires action, creativity, and ongoing love toward the people in our lives. You can't follow the golden rule the way that Jesus says it by doing nothing. The way that Jesus says it is much more demanding than that. So let's take a look at just how demanding the golden rule actually is. What does the golden rule demand from us? Well, first, the golden rule demands the followers of Jesus to be proactive. Notice that Jesus says, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you." Doesn't say, "Do unto others what they have done unto you." This command is more than just returning the favor. This command is more than just responding in like kind. This command is not reactive. It's actually proactive, meaning that the follower of Jesus are to be the kind of people that make the first move. It doesn't say we wait and see what they have done to us. It doesn't say we wait for that. It says that we are to be the ones who act first. Do you see that in there? Because in our world, the golden rule gets used like, "Hey, you leave me alone and I'll leave you alone." And when we do that, everybody gets left alone. And living like this might actually be a little bit better for us. Because that's actually the point that our world misuses the golden rule, to make life better for us. And the way that our world applies the golden rule, if you leave me alone and I leave you alone, the way that that works is that everybody gets to avoid any responsibility to consider the needs of anybody but ourselves. If I'm committed to leaving you alone, then I am left to simply worry about myself, which is another principle that our world lives by. Look out for number one: you do you, live your truth. Isn't that the way that our world tends to live? But that's not at all what Jesus is saying in the golden rule. And that is definitely not how Jesus lived out his own life. Instead of looking out for number one, the book of Philippians says this about Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And when it came to Jesus, instead of looking out for number one, he was looking out for us. He put our needs above his own. He put our lives above his own life to the point where he actually gave up his life on a cross. And talk about being proactive. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't do it on our behalf because he was returning the favor. When we read the Bible, we find that we didn't do anything that warranted Jesus's selfless sacrifice on our behalf. Instead, the Bible says that while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. So Jesus acted for our benefit, regardless of how we were acting towards him. And in the same passage here in Philippians, after seeing the selfless, proactive way that Jesus acted on our behalf, here is how it says that we are to respond and treat others. It says this: "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Do you see how Jesus is the backdrop for how we are to treat everyone around us? We are to have the same mind that Jesus has when it comes to other people. Which means that in a world that's constantly looking out for number one, because of what Jesus has done for us, his followers look not only to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. And not just when they do stuff for us. And not just when it's easy and convenient. But followers of Jesus are to be proactive in how we look out for the good of other people. Because like Jesus, we are to count others more significant than ourselves. Now, if we really took this part seriously, then it would change the way that we look at the golden rule. Because even people who aren't Christians understand that when you count somebody else to be more important than you are, it changes the way that you act towards that person. Because what you do is you start to act towards that person. Like when you fall in love, you start to consider that person to be more and more significant to you. And then you start doing stuff for them for no reason. With no prompting, you do it just because. Isn't that what we do? We get the googly eyes, and then we start buying flowers, and then we go out of our way to do nice things for them and to say nice things about them just because they are them. Well, Jesus says, have that mindset about others always. Isn't that what this verse is actually telling us to do? It's saying, be like Jesus, and consider others to be more significant to yourself than yourself, to the point where you look out for their interests just because they are them. And the same Jesus who did this for us says this to us. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So when was the last time that you did something for somebody just because? Not so that they'll return the favor, not because you're returning the favor for them, not because you're trying to get anything out of them. You just did it just for them. When was the last time that you had that mind among yourselves, where you considered somebody else to be more significant than yourself and you looked after their interests above your own? But before you answer that, let me show you just how demanding Jesus' command is here. Look at the word others. It doesn't say friends and family. It doesn't say neighbors and relative. It doesn't say people who you like and people who like you. It doesn't say people who look like you and think like you and believe like you or agree with you socially and politically. Because those are the kinds of limits that we put on people. The kind of people that we want to act toward. Those are the kind of limits that we put on those kind of things. The kind of people that we like to think of as more significant than ourselves. The kind of people whose needs we like to consider more than our own. People who fit into those categories. But Jesus doesn't have those kind of categories. Jesus doesn't have those kind of limits. If Jesus did, then he would never have come to earth for people like us. But he did come to earth for people like us. And because he did, Jesus now calls his followers to live according to the values of his kingdom. And in the world that we live in today, the values of the kingdom of heaven can shine brighter with the gospel now more than ever before. Because I don't know if you've seen this, but right now we live in a world that is full of anxiety and fear surrounding a global pandemic. We live in a country that is fiercely divided down political lines. We live at a time where racial tensions and injustices are at the forefront of our headlines. But we also live in a world where each of these issues is addressed by taking sides and drawing lines. We live in a world where looking out for number one quickly turns into looking down on everybody else. And in a world like that, the gospel of Jesus can shine bright. In a world where we're merely considering the opinion of another person is rare, followers of Jesus are called to consider other people more significant than themselves. That'll shine bright. In a world where almost everything is permitted except imposing on personal rights, followers of Jesus are called to lay down our rights for others just as Jesus laid down his life for us. If we did that, that would shine bright. In a world where people are always looking out for themselves, followers of Jesus are called to look after the interests of others. And we're called to do it without limits, just like Jesus didn't put any limits on his love toward us. So do you see how the golden rule, with God as the backdrop, is a pretty demanding command? Do you see how the golden rule, rather than just being a better way to treat each other, is actually a radical commitment to the well-being of other people? Yeah, it's radical because Jesus doesn't allow for any of the limits that our world typically imposes. And with the word others, Jesus calls us to act on behalf of whoever crosses our path. The word other says it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter how different than they are of you. It doesn't matter if they agree with you or not. The word other says that we are to consider them, whoever they are, to be more significant than ourselves. And with the phrase, whatever you wish, Jesus removes any limits that we might put on how far we might go for the sake of other people. Jesus gave his life. So what are we called to give as we look to the interests of those around us? This phrase, whatever you wish, is interesting because it invites creativity and imagination when we think about how we meet the needs of other people. Like, it doesn't say whatever somebody asks you for, then give it to them. That's not what it says. This command is proactive. So Jesus is asking us to consider the interests of other people so much that before they even ask us for something, we have already been considering what we could possibly do for them. And Jesus doesn't even limit it with needs. He uses the word wish. I mean, I don't need a burrito from Chipotle, but I wish I had one. If somebody happened to give me a burrito right now, that would be more than meeting a need. That would be like a wish come true. And if that's what I wish for, then maybe I should give burritos to other people as well. But then what if other people don't feel the way about burritos that I do? Well, then maybe before I go around buying burritos for everybody, maybe I should find out what other people actually like, what other people actually wish for. It's a silly example, but do you see how the golden rule is calling us out of ourselves and demanding us to think deeply and creatively and intentionally about the interests of other people? You've heard the phrase, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Well, Jesus takes it even further. He says, put yourself into their shoes and then put yourself into their wishes and then act on their behalf. But do it with no limits. Do it with no restrictions and do it with no buts. So what about us? What about this week? How are we going to live out the values of Jesus's kingdom? How are we going to have the mind of Christ this week? Think about it. All right, let me leave us with this passage from Philippians once again. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is how we are to do unto others. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who acted on our behalf while we were still your enemy. who gave up his life when he didn't have to do that in any way. So God, I pray that because of what you've done for us, because of the kind of love that you've shown us, we would be the kind of people who, in a response to what you've done for us, would do the same to others. So God, I pray that you would help us in a world that is divided, in a world that divides into groups and down lines, that we would be the kind of people who have no lines, who give unto others as Christ has given to us, who would love others with no distinction like Jesus has loved us. We pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to be those kind of people. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.